I'm glad I got to be here. I'm glad you're here.
Yes.
Yeah. It's good to come back tonight and see you. It's been good preaching all week. I've enjoyed myself.
Amen.
Thank God for letting me be able to preach and helping my throat. I pray you pray for me tonight. Which time you pray for me?
Our Father in heaven, Lord, tonight we do thank you, Lord, for your presence. God, that we cast every care upon you. Lord, tonight we recognize the fact that Brother Dennis, Lord, your preacher. God, he's your child. And God, tonight we recognize the fact that he can do nothing without you. And God, help him to rest in that tonight. Give him the peace, God. Lord, the rest of God, as he preached on the other night, God, to stay in the night, and God, be used of God. Lord, it's you, it's not us. God, I'm thankful tonight for that. God, bless now the Word of God. May it have free course in our hearts, and may you, God, give good liberty to preach. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You have your Bibles, turn over to Luke chapter 16. God pressed a message in my heart out of this chapter. Now, verse 19. We'll go there. Verse 19. It says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores.
Yes.
It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried.
Yes,
and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, to see if Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in these flames. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from thence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house. He's talking about Lazarus. Send Lazarus to my father's house. For I have five brethren, and that he may testify unto them, unless they also come into the place of this torment. Abraham said unto them, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded of one of those who rose from the dead. In this verses here, when you up here, it starts out. It says in verse 19, there was a certain rich man. It was a certain one. I mean, he makes it plain and flat, not just any. And you got people. I mean, I read all kind of stuff in the last 2 days. And they say this is a parable and all this. It's not a parable. This is a true story that the Lord told. And that talk, and is trying to tell the Pharisees there, trying to tell them. And they didn't want to listen. But there's two different lifestyles here.
Right.
You got a lifestyle where a rich man, he had everything he wanted.
Yeah.
He didn't want for nothing. He had the best of the best. It'd be like having an Armani suit, you know, wearing it around. I looked at him today, like $3,000. I thought, my gosh, put that in an old piece of dirt and wear it, you know. I looked at it's a contemporary fit twill dress shirt, $245 for a shirt.
Well,
And this rich man now, he had purple. He wore purple linen. And he had that linen. It was fared. He fared sumptuously. He was so rich. That linen, I studied on that. And that purple linen, they made that purple out of a shellfish. Yeah. And they had to get like 12,000 of them just to get enough to do one garment. To make that. And that's how much money. He just had so much money, he didn't need money. Right. He didn't need nothing. And that was his lifestyle. It's he didn't have a mule to ride on. He had like a Lamborghini driving it.
Right.
I mean, you get the fact what I'm saying? He had the best of the best.
Yeah.
He didn't need enough food when he went in to eat. Man, the table was spread out like Golden Corral. He had food to eat all he wanted. His friends come in and he fed them.
Right.
And they ate all they wanted. And he didn't need for nothing. Didn't want for nothing.
Right.
There was no need for it. And then he received daily greater and finer things every day.
Yeah.
And, you know, but then on the other hand, and that's the title of my message, on the other hand.
Yeah.
On the other hand,
yeah.
There was a beggar who had nothing, no fine clothes or shoes, who laid at the gate.
Yeah.
Let's look at that man, that beggar laid out there.
Yeah.
And God, his name was Lazarus. The Lord told you his name, Lazarus. He said, beggar Lazarus, Lazarus. And he laid out there with those no shoes, his shoes gone, and his sores all over him, and as sickly and hungry. And talking about his five brothers down there, you know good and well, they come up to the brother's house and saw him out there and all that. So they seen him out there. But yet, you take the man had sores all over him,
yeah.
And a dog's come up and licked his sore.
Right.
Now, you got to understand about the dogs. They didn't like dogs over there. They thought they was filthy and they was scum, and they wasn't nothing to the dog because they didn't like dogs.
Right.
But the dog would eat the bread under the table. And yet, the poor man, you know, the beggar would love Lazarus. He'd love to be able to get some of that bread and just
right.
to eat. Well, you know, I studied on that bread, and it said that a lot of times they'd take that bread, and their hands would be dirty. Then people, they'd wipe their hands on that bread, and then they would throw it down.
Yeah.
I tell you what, and I think God will feed me if I have to eat the bread off the floor. He'll feed me.
Right.
I thank God, and poor Lazarus laid out there and didn't have nothing to eat, and the dogs licked his sores. No doubt, you don't know, they got the lickings. They might have bit him or something, you know. You know how dogs are, man, they'd eat you up. And they said, while studying them, said these was ravenous dogs. They wasn't tame dogs, and they didn't like them. And so we're talking about two different people here now. And I want you to look at the state of mind of mankind. We see a man who had nothing, and he had all the world, and he had all the world. We see a man who had all the world could offer. You see that. And then you see a man who had nothing.
Right.
He didn't have nothing. But and if you take notice here, and you'll see in verse 19, there it said, I said a minute ago, there was a certain rich man.
Yeah.
He was a certain rich man. I mean, there was plenty of rich men around, but this was a certain rich man. And he didn't tell his name. His name wasn't important. He's rich man. But here he had a poor man, Lazarus, a certain beggar, Lazarus.
Right.
Yet he called his name. He's a child of God. I'm glad God knows my name.
Amen.
I might not know your name and forget your name, but God knows my name.
Yes.
Thank God. I'm glad he's known my name for like 41 years, be 42. Thank God. I'm glad he gave me a new name, and I'm glad he's not going to forget my name.
Right.
But I tell you, no one knows who this rich man is. Nobody knows his name. You'll never hear his name. You'll never know. Man, God goes to hell. You don't know. Nobody knows their name. And I'm going to holler over, hey, John, you all right? No, they're not going to be hollering nothing. They'll be screaming in pain,
right.
Screaming in agony. But it's a state of mankind. And we notice here that this wasn't just a rich man. It was a certain one of the Pharisees. These Pharisees were supposed to be smart. They thought they was better than everybody else. And they would stand and proclaim and pray out, you know, in the yards and stuff. But and we see here in verse 14, 13, it says, "And the Pharisees also, who was kept to his convenience, heard all these things that derided him. And he said unto them, Yea, all are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is among nations, an abomination in the sight of God." And I tell you tonight, you come here tonight, I don't know your heart. I don't know nothing. I know y'all by your faces and friends and being brothers and sisters in Christ, but I don't know your heart. I don't know where you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I don't know if you've ever accepted Him as your Lord and Savior. But I tell you what, you die and go to hell. Your name, nobody will know your name anymore. Your name's wiped away and no one knows your name. But I tell you what, you die in Jesus Christ and you'll go to heaven and you'll have a new name and you'll be with God. I tell you, there's two different lifestyles. You say, "Well, I'm a good man. I ain't never done nobody wrong. I ain't cheated nobody. I've treated them right. I've helped people." I don't care what you've done. You can do all the good you want. You can go around and give out money. You can hand out and feed people, take care of people. But when it comes down to it, if you don't have Jesus Christ in your heart, you'll die and go to hell like the sorriest dog on the unit in the world who's a murderer and killer. You'll burn in the same hell.
Right, right, right.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you, on the other hand, here was a man. He was in the gates begging. And he was begging, you know, wanting some food, wanting some comfort. And, you know, and he couldn't get nothing. He couldn't have nobody to give him nothing. And, you know, the rich man, he had everything. What would it have been to him just to give out some food to him? I mean, with all of his great riches, what would it have been to him just do something for that guy? He's had thought more of himself and wanted everything for himself. Just like the world we live in today, oh, everybody wants everything for themselves. They ain't worried about nobody else. They ain't worried about any of their next door neighbors. They don't care what goes on. And they don't care if you die and go to hell. All of them don't.
That's right.
And they say those Christians.
Yeah.
A Christian means Christ-like. Right. If you're Christ-like, you ought to be praying for God to save that lost sinner.
Right.
Yeah. I tell you what, people, these lost people go by. They walk into their house every day, and the Bible laying on the table. They might carry a Bible, and they don't even know God. But yet they pretend it in their heart, and they don't know that God is the one that's got to save them. Jesus Christ, you've got to get it in your heart. But the heart is the root, and the mouth is the fruit.
Yeah.
It comes from the heart. When you cry out to God,
yeah,
you can pray all you want to. You can get down and go to church all you want to. But if it ain't in your heart, if you ain't been saved and birthed into the family of God, you will not go to heaven.
Right.
People will come by, walk by you, and they'll say, "Oh, that was a good man. He was so good." And within you, you're the only one knows.
Yeah.
You'll die and go to hell.
That's it.
Yes, I tell you what, there's a different state of man, the man of mankind here. And these people, back in these days, they looked at you as if you was rich. They thought you was a righteous man.
Yeah.
If you were sick or something, they thought, "Oh, he's a sinner." They think, "Man, that guy, something, he had to do something for God to make him sick like this."
Yeah.
But I tell you what, the godliest woman I ever knew was sick all the time. She was eat up with that crippling arthritis. But that woman loved God.
Yeah.
She'd lay in the bed and her husband would try to help her turn over and she'd break a rib. But you go over there and you wouldn't feel sorry. You'd come out of that house and you'd be praising God because of the way she lifted you up in all her pain and torment. And she'd lift you up for the praising God.
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you, there's different kinds. It's on the other hand. What's on the other hand? You got a man there laying in the gate full of sores, and he's desiring to be fed. Just a crumb. Just give me a crumb, please. Give me a crumb. And he asked for that crumb from the rich man's table. And what I gather here from studying, these crumbs, you know, that when they'd wipe their hand, throw them down, and them dogs go in there and eat them and clean them up. I reckon it's like a vacuum cleaner. They clean the floor for them. But I tell you what, in this life today, there's nobody going to take your place in going to hell.
That's right.
Jesus Christ done it once and for all. He died and took all your sin. You say, but I've been to church all my life. I don't care what you've done.
Right.
I was raised a Lutheran. So what? I was going to die and I was going to go to hell as a Lutheran.
Right.
I don't care who you what you raised as. Amen. You'll die and go to hell. If Jesus Christ don't prick your heart and you come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You have to understand the Bible in these days, as I said, a dog, they just despise him, outcast. Over in Proverbs, they said it was filthy. Proverbs 26:11 says, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly.
Yeah.
So they looked at a dog. They looked at a Gentile as a dog. I tell you, tonight, it's a different world we live in, but it's still on the other hand. On one hand, you're lost. On the other hand, you're saved. Which are you tonight? Are you saved or are you lost? I know it's a Wednesday night, but hey, I preach what God gives me to preach. I don't know your hearts. God only knows your heart. God knows who would be here tonight. And I tell you what, you better find out tonight. And He's the only one that's going to save your soul. He's the only one to give you the light of the Word of God. I tell you, and then next it comes to the death came to him. Death came to him. The death came to the rich man. And we read there, it says, and the beggar rich man was clothed fine and buried sumptuously every day. And we go on down to verse 22, and it come to pass, it said, and the beggar died and was carried. Get this now, the beggar died. Verse 22, Luke chapter 16, and the beggar died, Lazarus, he died. It said he was carried up in Abraham's bosom. Hey, man, I tell you what. My daddy died about 17, 18 years ago. My daddy was a Lutheran. I raised a Lutheran. But in my daddy's last few years, he was dying. He had his disease, and he just beat his lungs up and just smothered him. But he was down there. He's on the table down there in the opera in the emergency room. And he told me he was right with God.
Amen.
His last words was, leave me alone. He's trying to put an air tube down his throat. Uh-huh. Leave me alone. Let me go be with the Lord.
Amen.
And that's what he was saying. Leave me alone. Let me go be with the Lord. What's going to come out of your mouth in them days when you're dying? I tell you what. I had to go up there. I got a brother that's 5 years older than me and a sister 5 years younger than me. And my mother, she couldn't take it. They had my daddy on a ventilator. And he wasn't even alive. He just had him on that machine. And I had to go in there. My brother, he couldn't do it. My sister couldn't. My mama. I had to go in there, Brother Robert. And I had to tell him to take that off of my daddy.
Yeah.
And then I stood beside him the last few minutes. But I tell you what, that last breath, God told me, son, you will see him again. Hallelujah, because he asked the Lord to save him, and he's on the other side tonight. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Amen.
And when that trumpet sounds, we're going to meet him in the air.
Amen.
That's the hope we got.
Yes.
And that's what you got as a hope of a child of God.
Yes.
You'll see him again.
Yes.
If you're lost, you ain't got no hope. You don't have no hope. Your hope is just like the Jehovah's Witness. No, they ain't got no hope.
Right.
You're the grave and that's it. You go to the grave and you think that's all you're going to have. You go to the grave, you just begun to live, buddy. Either way, you just begin to live if you're saved and go to heaven, or if you die and go to hell. But it tells us here in the next verse down there, it says, it don't end when a beggar died. It said that he was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. Hey, they didn't bury him, what I see. They had a dump like at the end of the city that burned all the time.
Yes.
And they drug him down there from what I can tell and put him out there and just burn him up. They wouldn't have no marker on no grave. Didn't have nothing to say that here lies Lazarus. But then the old rich man, I guarantee you they had a big elaborate funeral. And I bet they hired all them mourners and they come down through there mourning. That's how they did back then. And they mourn and cry. I bet they made a big stone for him. I bet they put him in, made a big deal out of his funeral for a man that nobody even knows.
Right.
He don't even have a name. The Bible says, and the rich man died. It says, the rich man also died and was buried. He was buried. But on the other hand, he was buried and he come to realization when he died, he opened his eyes in hell. Hey, he didn't open his eyes the very instant he died. I can't help it. It's in my mind, and I think the Lord wants me to say it. But J. Harold Smith, I've heard him preach, and I've read some books. And he talks about one time, I don't know if he was there or if it was another preacher, but he said there was a man in a hospital. This is back when years ago when they didn't give you all this medicine to keep you dead, you know, numb and keep you all doped up and in a coma where you don't know you're dying. But said this guy was dying. And said he went in there to pray for him, and a preacher who's going to pray for him. He said there wasn't no need. You know, he said you don't need to pray for me. And he said, can you get them chains off my legs? Can you get them chains off my legs? And he said, well, ain't no chains on your legs. No, my feet's on fire. I'm like, can you put the fire out? Can you put the fire out? And he said, that man raised all the way up to bed. He couldn't even move before that. And then he died. And in hell.
Yeah.
Carried off to hell.
Right.
Who you think if the angels comes and gets you and carries you to heaven, who you think gets you and takes you to hell?
Yeah.
A devil comes around. A devil's come get you and take you to hell. Hey, you ain't got, you can't do nothing. It's too late. Why wait till it's too late when you can do something about it right now?
Right.
You can do something. You don't have to wait till it's too late.
Yeah.
You say, oh, I can put it off. 48 years old, that's what, 13, 14 years ago, I had have a quadruple heart bypass. Hey, God didn't promise you. It doesn't matter anymore how old you are. Hey, God knows when He wants you and when He don't want you. He knows the very second that He's going to take you. You don't understand why and how. You don't understand the reasons, but He knows the reasons. And there's a reason for it for a saved person passing, and there's a reason for it when a lost person goes. Maybe this is your last time tonight, and God's going to speak to you. I don't know. Maybe you're just not right with God. Maybe God laid this message tomorrow to give you some more something in your heart to be a praying and praying and begging God for your loved ones, your husbands and wives, your kids going to hell, and we don't care anymore.
Right.
There's no preaching like oh hell hardly anymore. You can't hardly ever hear a message on hell. You got all these sugarcoaters on the radio, TV, all this other stuff. They don't preach nothing.
Right.
They get the crowds and bring them in, but they don't know one time. They don't hear the word hell.
Right.
That's why they go there. They don't want to hear it. They don't never hear it. They change the word to Hades and all this stuff. But it's hell. It's hell. It was hell when Jesus was on earth. It's hell today. Okay, what can I ask you today? Do you know where you're going? I tell you what, the rich man, he feasted and had all his food, but now the rich man, the poor man's feasting and having a ball and living it up.
Oh, yeah.
And the rich man burning in pain. I'm talking about little fire in your face and all over you. I mean, you think, well, you'd burn up, but you're not going to burn up because God's not going to let you burn up. You're going to be in pain and burn forever and ever and ever. There'll be no relief. But on the other hand, hallelujah, preacher, we're going to be up there with the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll be up there with all the saints of God. Thank God. I'll be praising the Lord, giving glory for God. Then Brother Robert's going to be running and shouting, hallelujah, praise God, I'm glad I'm saved tonight. You better know that you know you've been saved.
Yes, yes.
Now, remember the beggar. He sat out there and he cried. And he asked, and when he wanted food, he cried out, you know, want something to eat. He couldn't get nothing. He said, but on the other hand, here's the beggar. He didn't have nothing. And now he's got everything.
Right.
And on the other hand, the rich man's in hell. And he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus and dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue before I'm tormented in his flame. You take your finger up the first knuckle and you dip it in some water. You can hold it and hold it and hold it. And it takes a good while to get a drop off. He wanted one drop of water. Poor old Lazarus laid out there and cried, wanted something to eat too, and he didn't get nothing. Now here's this man. He's not going to get nothing. He's doomed and damned forever.
Yes,
and it said he's tormented. He said he's in these torments. Stayed more than just fire, buddy. I guarantee you every message you ever heard will probably go through your mind. Every track you ever read, anything you've read in the Bible, if you're lost, you'll hear that, you'll remember and have it go through your mind. No doubt there'll be demons and devils in hell that might swoop down at you. I don't know. Thank God I ain't going there. But I tell you what, I don't want to find out what the torments are in hell.
Right.
On the other hand, old Lazarus, buddy, he's up there in the arms of God.
Yes.
He said it was with Abraham's bosom. But that's a type of the Lord. You know, they took a reversal place here. On one hand, the poor man becomes rich.
Yes.
The rich man becomes horribly poor.
Right.
Can you imagine Donald Trump if all of a sudden tomorrow he had nothing? That's the way this man was. The poor man becomes rich and the rich man comes horribly poor. There's a poor man on the outside and there's a rich man on the inside. Then there's a poor man on the inside and a rich man on the outside.
Yes.
They swap places.
Yeah.
They ain't like that no more. It's on the other hand.
Yeah.
It's different. You know, they say, you know, if the shoe was on your foot, what would you do? Well, it was on his foot now. There's a poor man with no food, a rich man with food, and then there's a poor man with having a feast, and a rich man who can't even get a drop of water. Can't get a drop of water. And there's a poor man who is immersed in needs. And there's a rich man who has no needs. And then all of a sudden, on the other hand, that poor man, he has no needs. And the rich man is in great need.
Yes.
What are you going to do tonight? I mean, between you and God, I love you with all my heart. Let me ask you something. Which hand are you on? You on God's side or you on the devil's side? You can't walk on the fence. You'll fall one way or the other. It's just, you got to be in there. You say, well, I've been raised like this. I forget all that you know. Forget everything you've ever been told. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on Him and He will redeem you. He will save you. He will clean you. He will wash away your sins.
Yes.
There's no sin too great. There's no sin too big for Jesus Christ to get rid of.
That's right.
And he's down here, and then you go on down. You know, the poor man begged and asked for crumbs for food. And then you take the rich man down there, he's asking Abraham to send Lazarus up there to his brothers.
Yeah.
Like he's a servant of him. Still, he's trying to be a boss man in hell. Would you please just send Lazarus? Hey, who are you? You're nobody.
Right.
You're nobody.
Right.
But on the other hand, Lazarus is somebody. He's a child of the King.
Yeah.
Can you imagine going from nobody to a child of the King?
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. If you're saved, you've got a blood transfusion. You got the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost inside of you. You've been born again. Thank God. And can't nobody take that from me.
Right.
As they used to say, you could swing out over hell on a rotten corn stalk, and you're going to go to heaven. On the other hand, we're going to show tonight. I'm going to close with this. Isaiah 33:14. It says, the sinners in line are afraid. And Zion are afraid, fearless, as surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? Father, I ask you now, Lord. God, you know everyone that would be here. You know everybody's heart. Oh, God, I pray, oh, God in heaven. Speak to hearts tonight, God. God, speak to hearts, Lord. I know you wouldn't have this message if it wasn't for somebody or someone or maybe more than one. I don't know. But you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Preacher.